Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Jeff Blair is a member of the Manitoba Sports Writers and Sportscasters Hall of Fame. What Hall of Fame are you in? This is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
An all One Direction day. Ben Nicholson Smith. Who called you Benny Froosh? Is that Wilner? That must be a Wilnerism, eh?
Oh. But
there you go.
I think the first person to call me that
was who?
Drew Fairservice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
So.
You're going to have to move in a little closer here to the microphone. Try it. Does this mic work?
Perfect.
There you go.
I think we're good.
There you go. Yeah, I've been talking a little bit about One Direction Day, just because anybody was a teenage daughter. Yesterday was hell day for him. I mean, it really was, with Zayn Malik leaving One Direction. Who's your favorite member of One Direction, by the way?
I don't think I could have named one. Now I can. Zayn, he's my favorite, I guess.
Sportsnet, the magazine, has its baseball preview issue. This picture here of the lineup is pretty intriguing. Eh? All the heavy hitters, Sportsnet's experts here.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
In full color.
Can we tell the story about Arden Zwelling in his suit in the picture?
Go for it, yeah.
Arden forgot his suit, so there was a... Josh Donaldson is going to join. Okay, well, there you go. We've got an audible. Josh Donaldson of the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll have to discuss Arden Zwelling's suit later. Josh, thanks so much for doing this. Almost. Travis is going to have to chat. This happens. Travis is going to have to chat with the guy. How's the weather going? How are you doing? How's your family? Are they enjoying Dunedin? What's life like as a Blue Jay so far? We're so happy to have you on. And we're just going to pass you over right now to Jeff. Jeff's the host of the show. Thanks, Josh. Josh Donaldson's on the air with us. Hey, Josh, thanks for doing this, man.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're on with Jeff Blair and Ben Nicholson Smith on the Jeff Blair Show, which doesn't mean anything to you right now, but it will eventually. Josh, what is your what's your spring training been like with the Blue Jays? How different is it than spring training in Arizona, for example?
Oh, well, first, it's hot.
yeah.
It's pretty humid. I'm from the south. I've been away from the humidity for so long now that it's definitely taken a little time to get used to, and, you know, getting accustomed to everybody in the clubhouse and everything else that's going on, and, you know, it's been a fun process.
Josh, when you talk about getting used to being around this team, what have you kind of seen from your Blue Jays teammates from the beginning of spring training when you were just getting to know each other and now that we're getting close to opening day?
I mean, first of all, you have some studs on this team. I mean, just some guys that not only are very gifted athletically, but have put up numbers in the big leagues. And second of all, just everybody here, they come to the yard every day ready to work and, you know, trying to get better. And I think that's important because anytime, you know, you kind of get a little stagnant or, you know, complacent in where you're at, I feel like you kind of start – you know, regressing a little bit, and I feel like everybody's come with a, you know, a good mindset, ready to get better, and you know, hopefully win a lot of games this year.
You know, Josh, when you talk to guys who were around last year, and I'm thinking of some of the young guys like Daniel Norris who came up last year, and you ask them to compare what it's like now in that clubhouse compared to what it was like when they came up, they all talk about how much more focused this is. And to a man, they all point to you and Russell Martin as being the guys that have really contributed to that focus. What do you when you joined this team, how did you go about making yourself comfortable with your teammates, making your teammates comfortable with you? How did you go about doing that?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, I think you just got to try to establish a relationship with the guys that are here. And, you know, just trying to have conversations and, for instance, when I stretch, I try not to stretch in the same area every day around the same people. You know, I want to make a point to go around and, you know, make sure I'm giving time to everybody on our team just for my own selfish reasons, just so I get to know these guys. And second of all, I want them to be comfortable with me and, you know, have a idea of who I am and what I'm about. And, you know, I think, you know, what's most important is, you know, that I've stayed true to myself, how I come to the yard every day, how I play the game. And I think if you are successful at doing that, then the guys, you know, they get a better feel for you and they know what they're going to get every day. And, you know, it makes it easier for people to be around you.
In conversation with Josh Donaldson and Ben Nicholson-Smith on the Jeff Blair Show, I noticed on Sunday when I was in the clubhouse, you and Jose Bautista having a long, long discussion about hitting. And we know that you have, in some ways, patterned some of your approach after Jose. What's it like to be with a guy whose approach you have at least borrowed from? And is it almost like having a teacher handy?
Well, I think... we were talking the other day, and it's kind of, there's a couple of guys who I talk hitting with, and, you know, a guy asked me the other day, like, how many guys have I been able to talk to about hitting that can relate to you mm-hmm. and relate to your style and relate mechanically, and there hasn't been a guy. And to have a guy like Jose, you know, that we can bounce ideas off each other, and, you know, I think it's a pretty cool thing. And also, I mean, Jose's very smart. You know, he's a smart guy, and, you know, he does a lot of, he's not a guy that just goes out there and does it. You know, he's put a lot of time and research into it, and the same as I have. It's just really cool to be like, hey, like, this is what I think on this right here. What do you think? And, you know, it's just really neat to be able to bounce those ideas. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about mechanics the other day, and, you know, I ended up hitting a homer the other day in Minnesota on like a down and in two seamer. And we were talking the day before just about how when I fire my backside, I would just really focus on firing my backside and my front side kind of just be a little loose. And he was talking about whenever he's firing his backside, he really focuses on trying to, with that left quad, mm-hmm. you know, kind of really trying to turn, like press into that front side. And I was like, I was playing with it at my house later that night, and I was like, man, that feels really nice as far as it allows my hips to get around balls. And then I end up hitting that pitch out on that down and in two-seamer, which I can't remember ever doing that. I came back in the dugout. I was like, hey, what we talked about the other day, it just happened. And I've never hit that pitch out in a game. And it was really cool for what we were talking about happen or doing, and it actually happening in the game just a couple of days later. And I think it's going to be beneficial to both of us.
When you were in Oakland, that was a team that relied a lot on young pitching. You had guys like Sonny Gray, Jared Parker, really being one of the big reasons for success in that team. And now that you're with the Blue Jays, it seems like this is going to be a team that relies a lot on young pitching as well. So, you know, what did you see from those young arms in Oakland when you were there? And what kind of challenges do you think they face in going up against hitters like yourselves and the Bautistas of the world when they're trying to make a name for themselves?
Well, I definitely think there's a positive of being a fresh face in the big leagues and being a young guy, especially with the guys that we have here that are in camp, because for one reason they have an advantage right away is guys haven't ever seen them, and they have nasty stuff, which is going to make it even more an advantage. The thing that's going to be tough about it is being able to go out there on a nightly basis and repeating that, especially for a younger guy who might not have had to do that so far in his career. So, I mean, that's kind of where your older guys are going to have to step in, you know, your RAs, you know, your Burleys, and, you know, Brett Cecil, and, you know, just, you know, Delabar, and just kind of bounce ideas off them and kind of communicate on, hey, how am I going to prepare every day and be able to get the results that I want to.
Josh Donaldson joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Josh, when you were with the Athletics, they had a knack of always, I mean, they were always in the picture. They were always contending for the playoffs. I mean, it got to the point where you couldn't even call them overachieving or underrated or surprising. What do you see about the Blue Jays that suggests to you that this team can put together a run to the playoffs?
Well, as I said earlier, you have a bunch of guys on this team that aren't just good baseball players. You have a bunch of guys on this team that are studs. I mean, just anybody in the big leagues would want them on their team. So with that being said, that is, you know, obviously a positive and makes us feel good about our team. What we're going to have to do is what we just talked about earlier, mm-hmm. is make sure that the younger guys not only feel a part of this team, but that they're preparing themselves in the right way every day and making sure that they're going down the right path.
Josh, we're going to let you run and get ready for the game. Thanks so much, man. It was good talking to you.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Josh Donaldson of the Toronto Blue Jays and Ben Nicholson-Smith joining me in the Jeff Blair Show. We're going to discuss Sportsnet, the magazine's preview in a minute, but it's interesting, Ben. Stephen Brunt and myself had Daniel Norris on when we were doing the show down from there, and Daniel Norris made a point about how when he was with the Blue Jays last September, it was fun, which is great. It should be fun. But his point was that there was a much more business-like approach in spring training. And it's important to note that when he joined the team last year, they were still sort of at least on the periphery of a playoff race. And when you talk to him off air afterwards, the one thing he said is, you know, the two guys, Russ Martin and Josh Donaldson, have made such a difference because there's so much baseball talk in that clubhouse.
Absolutely. And I think Martin in particular is just a guy who has caught so many pitchers with huge credentials at the big league level, whether that's Clayton Kershaw, Mariano Rivera, Greg mm-hmm. Maddux. So you have a guy there with just so much experience, and I think he really likes the game. I think he likes talking about it. I think that's going to rub off on these guys. And for Norris and Sanchez, it'll probably help that they have already pitched at the big league level a little bit. It's not mm-hmm. going to be a complete new experience the way it might be for a Castro or potentially Roberto Osuna.
Yeah, and we'll get to the news of the day out of Blue Jays camp right away. Steve Delabar sent down today by the Blue Jays. Meiser is Turris and Michael Saunders. Also, it's been confirmed will start the season on the disabled list. I don't think that's a surprise in either regard, but Ben Nicholson-Smith, Steve Delabar going down to AAA or going down to the minor league camp. That is a surprise. That's a flat-out surprise.
It is. I thought he was looking very good to make the team, and he was pitching pretty well, wasn't dominant, but he had, I think, 9 strikeouts in 7 innings, and that's the kind of performance that you look for from a guy who really was trying to command the ball better this year. He only walked 1 batter in the spring, so mm-hmm.
And his velocity was way back up. It was 94-95. Even in spring training guns, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's something that you've got to be somewhat pleased with, and he's on option. I'm sure we'll see him at some point this year, but I had thought he would be tabbed for that opening day roster. Right now, that probably opens things up. I mean, they could go different directions, but that probably opens things up for Roberto Osuna.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us have, for the past week or so, operated under the assumption that Miguel Castro was going to go north with the team. I talked to John Gibbons on Sunday, and you really got the sense that while Osuna was in the picture, they were sort of positioning him to start in the Florida State League, to start at Dunedin, and that was one of the reasons he was kind of being stretched out. But we know that he is now pitching out of the bullpen. I believe, I don't have Mike's tweet in front of me, I believe it's Saturday. And that raises the possibility, Ben, that this team goes north with Miguel Castro and Roberto Osuna, two rookies in the bullpen, and maybe the most rookiest of rookies, and I know I sound like Wilner when I say that, but these are two guys that probably should be in single A in the Florida State League. They're going to be in the major league roster. Devin Travis, a rookie, could very well be at second base. Dalton Pompeo will be in center field. Daniel Norris, a rookie, will be starting. Aaron Sanchez, who was up here last year as a reliever, he'll be in the rotation. That is a really young team.
It's crazy. I mean, Osuna has the chance to be the youngest player in baseball this year. He could be the youngest pitcher in Blue Jays history. This guy's really young. He's born in 1995. Like, this is an extremely young pitcher, very limited experience. Say nothing of the upper minors. He doesn't mm-hmm. even have that much experience in the lower minors. But he has been pitching against advanced competition for a long time, pitching in the Mexican League at 16 years old, got a good feel for pitching, and he's obviously showing improved command this spring. So this stuff is there. And I think that with all these guys, you have upside. I mean, there's no question the talent is there. But it can also go the other way, like it did for the Red Sox last year when they weren't ready. I mean, Jackie Bradley Jr. and Xander Bogaerts did not live up to expectations, and that really cost the Red Sox.
And just to kind of, you know, reinforce that story, Miguel Castro and Roberto Osuna, they first met each other when they were in instructional league, and extended spring training or instructional league. But basically, Roberto Osuna has kind of served as Miguel Castro's interpreter. He's kind of the guy who leads him around, which is interesting in itself because Roberto Osuna will tell you he didn't speak much English 18 months ago. And now he's doing, I mean, he's volunteering to do radio interviews. He's so comfortable doing it. But these two kids went into Pete Walker early in spring training and they told him they wanted to make all the road trips, even if they weren't pitching, because they wanted, and when Pete Walker asked them why, Roberto Osuna started rattling, or Miguel Castro started rattling off the names Evan Longoria, David Ortiz, you know, Mark Teixeira. They wanted to see firsthand all the major leaguers they could possibly face. I mean, these two kids, they had a plan. They will be totally unsurprised if they both go north. They'll be the least surprised people on the planet if they go north.
Yeah, I was listening to Osuna last week when he told you guys he wanted to become a superstar. I was kind of caught off guard by that.
Yeah.
Not to put a limit on him, because you definitely want every player to expect big things of themselves, but it's pretty amazing, and they have the potential. It's just going to be a question now of can they make that adjustment to the big league level? I mean, to go from Class A, and you look at that Dunedin team from last year, Pompey, Norris, Osuna, Castro, they were all playing in the Florida State League. Now here they are, big pieces of a team that's trying to contend for the playoffs.
We're going to take your calls at 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Ben has graciously agreed to stick around and take calls. We'll do that after the break. I want to talk about the Sportsnet, the magazine, baseball preview, as per usual, another terrific package. Ben, you seem to have written a lot of it. Brent's cover story on Russell Martin is in here as well. But just talk to me a little bit about the stories in particular you worked on. The next breakout star, Bryce Harper, terrific article on Bryce Harper, and you ask one question. I think one of the major questions people in the American League have is, where's Tampa Bay's offense going to come from? So let's start with Tampa Bay's offense, because Tampa Bay's been, you know, they've been a factor in the American League East for the past 5 years, 6 years. I really, and as much as I don't ever want to discount Tampa Bay, I really have a hard time seeing them being a factor this year. That offense is just, I mean, it's to say it's a work in progress is being very optimistic.
Yeah, last in the American League in runs scored last year, and they didn't really make any huge offensive additions. So if anything, they lost a couple big players. Ben Zobrist is gone. Matt Joyce is gone. It's going to be really tough for them to score runs this year. And I think that's going to be their biggest weakness as a team. I mean, they're going to kind of live and die with Evan Longoria. And that's the way they're looking at the season. If he has a huge year, maybe they have a chance. But the one thing that I worry about with the Rays is their pitching. I mean, that was supposed to be the backbone of this team. And yet you have Alex Cobb, Andrew Smiley, both battling tendonitis. Never a good sign for a team that's supposed to depend on its arms.
No, and it's, you know, we know they're already without Joe Maddon, and the Joe Maddon magic. It'll be interesting to see if Kevin Cash can kind of replace some of that missing magic. But yeah, and if you talk to people, you know, talk to people like Tom Foley who were around when Joe Maddon was there and are still there. I mean, they'll tell you that they are under no illusions, or they're under no delusions in Tampa Bay. They know exactly where they are, and they know the type of season they're facing.
Yeah, and it's not a team that totally rebuilt, but I think this is a retooling year for them, and certainly if everything breaks right, you can dream on a scenario where they're actually competitive, but I think they're going to need a lot to go right.
Tell me about Gregory Polanco and why you think he's the next breakout star. I happen to agree with you, by the way, for what it's worth, but tell our listeners why you think Gregory Polanco is the next breakout star.
I think it comes down to his tools. And this is a guy 12 months ago who was regarded as a can't-miss prospect, someone who was up there with, you know, the Chris Bryants basically a year ago this time. And yet he struggled when he actually got to the big league level. He just wasn't very good. But the reason I think, and others in baseball think, that Polanco is positioned for kind of a breakout year is he just has so much going for him. And that's not all going to be offense. I think part of his game is defense. I mean, Clint Hurdle describes his arm as a really, really impressive throwing arm that could be his best tool. You've got big-time offensive potential. And I think that when you add that up, you just have so many different ways that he can help a team. It's really hard to imagine him being another disappointment this year. And I think that he has the potential to go even further and join Marte and McCutchen in a really star-studded Pirates outfield.
Yeah. Do you have a chance to talk to Russell Martin about him?
I did, yeah. And Martin was a big fan. I mean, all three of those guys. And, you know, he said Polanco could be the toolsy. I mean, you're hard to be toolsier than Andrew McCutchen, but he's in that same discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a real high ceiling with him. One of your other articles in the preview is Bryce Harper ready to destroy the National League. And, of course, if anybody saw the cover of Sports Illustrated, did you see the comparison, the Bryce Harper this year compared to Bryce Harper 2 years ago?
The forearms alone.
Now, he's been working out. And I was in Washington for briefly during spring training in Vieira, where they trained briefly for a story I was working on. And he walked by. He was going into the weight room. And I was with one of the Washington writers. And it's the first time I'd seen him. And I did a double take. And the guy I was with said, first time you've seen him? I said, yeah, where did that come from? That's like 15 to 20 pounds of muscle.
It's crazy. And he's so young, it's easy to forget because he's been on our radar since he was 16 years old and on the cover of Sports Illustrated for the first time. So it's really nuts. But he's just insanely young, and he's been really good. Whenever he's been playing at the MLB level, he has produced. And one of my favorite Bryce Harper stats is the fact that he has never faced a pitcher who is younger than him. He's always had the age disadvantage, so to speak. And every single time, that's 1,500 plate appearances, he's never seen a pitcher who's younger than him, and that's going to change this year. And I think he's really positioned to have a huge year.
Yeah, and as this the writer I was speaking to said, you know, you have to think about how young he was when he came in the league, and he probably is still growing into his body. Like, you know, you look at this, and this is probably what would happen to somebody who's spent 4 years on a weight program. And the Nationals are, I think, I don't know if you'd say they're the consensus World Series favorites, but they're almost a consensus National League favorite. I wouldn't even say the Dodgers. I wouldn't even say St. Louis. I think they've got fewer questions than anybody.
I think so too. It's just that rotation alone. I mean, it's pretty crazy when you have a guy in Tanner Roark. I think his ERA was like 2.8 last year. 200 innings. He's pumped from the rotation.
Yeah.
To have that guy out of your rotation, you look at around baseball, some of the guys who are competing for fifth starters' jobs or four starters' jobs, and the fact that a 15-game winner in Roark, who just had a tremendous year, can't even crack that rotation tells you how deep they are.
In conversation with Ben Nicholson-Smith on the Jeff Blair Show, again, the Sportsnet the magazine's MLB preview issue is now available on the Sportsnet magazine app and next issue. It'll be arriving in subscriber mailboxes today. Stephen Brunt's cover story on Russell Martin and Ben Nicholson-Smith and our writers have put together a really informative, as per usual with Sportsnet the magazine, tremendously laid out package for you. We've got Ben Nicholson-Smith in studio for the rest of the hour, so we're going to take calls. And I guess that what I'd like to talk about or what I'd like to throw out there is the news today that Steve Delabarre has been sent down by the Blue Jays, and that would appear to clear the way for Roberto Osuna and Miguel Castro to both break with the Major League team. How do you feel about that as a Blue Jays fan? Is this team, as you look at it, is this team too young? Do you have concerns about a team that has Aaron Sanchez and Daniel Norris in the rotation, Dalton Pompey, possibly Devin Travis starting, and of course Miguel Castro and Roberto Osuna in the bullpen? 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Michael in Toronto, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. I wanted to raise the issue of Alex Anthopoulos' tenure with the Blue Jays. There seems to be a consensus that if the Jays don't succeed this year, that his job may be on the line. And I think that's really unfortunate for two reasons, really. First of all, I think he's been a bold and innovative negotiator and has given the Jays fans reason to hope, some reason to hope every year with all the people he's brought in. Secondly, of course, you know, the injury to Stroman really hurts the Jays' depth. So it has to be, the, has to be seen to be the case that, you know, unless all the guys they've got, including the young guys in the rotation and the young guys in the bullpen, unless they all stay healthy and all achieve to the limits of their potential, if anybody gets injured significantly, then the Jays are in trouble. But there's a lot of hope for the future with this team, with all these young arms, young players, and with the money that's going to come into the organization once Burley and Romero's contracts come off the books next year. So I think this guy should be given a vote of confidence for the future. I like him. He's a hardworking, decent man who's learned well on a job, and we should keep him. That's my view.
You know, Michael, I'm gonna ask Ben about this, but something has happened in spring training this year. And Ben, I don't know exactly when it happened. I don't know where the conversation started, but there's almost been a shift towards a reevaluation of Alex Anthopoulos as people look ahead. And Stephen Brunt talked about this. If you sit down and look at the structure of this team's payroll right now, look at where they are right now with these young pitchers, look at where they are having Josh Donaldson under control for four more years. You've basically got Josh Donaldson, Russ Martin here for however long you want them, essentially. There's almost been a revisionist thinking going on now that perhaps Alex Anthopoulos has actually done a pretty good job positioning this team. They haven't made the playoffs in his watch, but he's done a pretty good job positioning this team for the future and taking care of the economic issues surrounding this team. And I wonder if maybe at some point this year, the debate's going to go away from playoffs or bust to should this guy be looking at getting an extension because he has left this team in good shape. And I don't know when that conversation started, but Ben, I know you're down in Florida. You're hearing more and more of it from people around the team.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it comes down to the young arms. You know, they are going to be a big indication for this franchise and how many young arms can really be relied on as key pieces for them going forward. So if Sanchez and Norris and Castro have big years, then all of a sudden you're looking at another wave with Asuna coming up and Jeff Hoffman. Then you have a lot of pitching. Like you said, they don't have bad contracts on the books. If anything, Bautista and Encarnacion are under some of the most team-friendly contracts in the league. So it's definitely a franchise that's well-positioned long-term. And I think the question this year is going to be, do they have enough depth to overcome some of the issues that they have on their club and make that playoff run?
Yeah, as I said, it's really interesting. It just, and I don't pretend to know where it started, but people around the team who have been telling me for a while that, boy, Alex has to make the playoffs or he's in trouble, all of a sudden you're starting to hear, well, there's all those good young arms and the payroll structure is not that bad. It's, like I said, it's some interesting revisionist thinking going on, and I don't necessarily mean revisionist thinking in a bad way. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Back with more of your calls. It's Ben Nicholson-Smith and Jeff Blair in studio. Take your Blue Jays calls when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We're running through the entire One Direction playlist here. Lance Kennedy in the background waving his fist. What we need to do is find those little lighter apps in our cell phones and hold them up. Anyhow, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show, joined in studio by Ben Nicholson-Smith. We are discussing the Sportsnet, the magazine, baseball preview, which is available in subscriber mailboxes today, or will be in subscriber mailboxes today. It's also available on Next Issue and the Sportsnet, the magazine app as well. A cover story by Russell Martin and a bunch of stories from our baseball insiders inside as well. Ben has agreed to stay around in studio until noon to take calls. There has been some news, considerable amount of news made by the Blue Jays today. Steve Delabarre surprisingly sent down to the minors. Some indication from our Mike Wilner that John Gibbons, the manager of the Blue Jays, was not entirely on board with the decision. John Gibbons also telling reporters in Dunedin that Meisser is tourists and Michael Saunders will start the year on the disabled list, which would appear to open the door for both Devin Travis and Steve Tolleson to make the team. But right now we're going to focus on the bullpen. Roberto Osuna, Miguel Castro likely going north. It's a lot of youth on this team. And the question is there too much youth on this Blue Jays team? Tom in Waterloo, you're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, you're with Jeff Blair and Ben Nicholson-Smith.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Tom.
Jeff, I've been following the pitching a bit, and I picked it up yesterday. We have the least walks in camp. We've given up the least walks, which for a long time, that's been a long time for the Jays.
That was a problem last year.
Well, we got the third best whip and the fifth best ERA. I know it's only camp, but, you know, the young pitching, whether it lasts, whether it not, at least it's there now.
Yeah, well, Tom and Ben, I want to bring you into this as well, because one of the things that John Gibbons and Pete Walker and even Pat Henkin has said a couple of times on the air is that the emphasis this year was going to be in throwing strikes. They wanted strike throwers out of the bullpen. And it appears as if essentially what they've done is they're taking the guys who are throwing the most strikes, and that really was probably Steve Delabar's downfall, is he just didn't have command of the split finger pitch. And as a result, you look at Roberto Osuna, he seems to be strike one to just about everybody he faces. He's going to be going north.
Yeah, I think that's the thing for these guys. You look at Osuna and Castro, and entering the spring, they were both long shots. What they were able to do, though, was command the ball really well. And I think that really ended up making the difference between them as guys who would start in Class A and who are now looking very likely to have a spot on the big league team.
And if you talk to Pete Walker and John Gibbons, the word that keeps coming up, and even Alex Anthopoulos talking about Drew Hutchison, they keep talking about command. Command is, it's almost like it's the magic word there right now at camp. They're stressing command at every opportunity. I know they had Drew, every bullpen session that Drew Hutchison takes now, he's got a left-handed batter standing in there because they want him to cut down his walk rate against left-handers. Again, focus on command. They've done it with Aaron Sanchez as well. They've had Aaron Sanchez throwing bullpen sessions always with a live hitter standing in. They're focusing on command.
And I think with Daniel Norris too, I mean, early on in spring training, John Gibbons would keep saying, what we need to see from Norris here is command. They know he has the stuff. I mean, his stuff is electric. He's got a four-pitch mix that's going to be up there with anyone in baseball, certainly any prospect in baseball. But the challenge for him was getting it over the plate. And so far, yesterday's game would be another example of this. He's been doing that really, really well.
And I think we're talking about Sportsnet, the magazine, the cover story by Stephen Brund and Russell Martin. I really do believe that the young guys are really going to profit from having Martin behind the plate. I mean, we saw that already in one of Aaron Sanchez's starts. He was up in the zone, and it was very obvious. Russ Martin went down to one knee, and he almost had the glove in the dirt, and that forced Sanchez to get more extension and force the ball down in the zone. He didn't go out and talk to him on the mound. He just did it almost as a lesson to Sanchez. Aim for the glove. I'm going to put the glove down. And you talked to Aaron afterwards. He said the amount of confidence that gives you, knowing, first of all, that the guy is doing this and thinks you can hit the glove and isn't worried whether or not you're going to hit the glove and is prepared to move around and block the ball if it doesn't, you don't get it. I mean, things like that, having a guy who's going to steal pitches for you, that improves your command almost accidentally.
Definitely. I think that's going to be big for the Blue Jays this year. And it sounds like, you know, from reading Stephen Brunt's story in the magazine, this is something Russell Martin has a ton of practice at. I mean, it's something that he practiced with his dad growing up. His dad would try to get baseballs past him in any which way that he possibly could. Couldn't do it for the most part. And now you look at Russell Martin as someone who keeps the ball in front of him, really grabs extra strikes for his pitchers here and there. And that's going to be important because regardless of how the Blue Jays configure their catchers this year, Martin's going to be the guy catching Norris and Sanchez and Hutchison.
What would you do if you were John Gibbons, if you were the Blue Jays to solve the issue about Josh Tholey on this team? I almost, every catcher around that team is telling me he has to go north, and I'm almost ready to raise the white flag and say he's got to go north.
And I hear those points from Joe Siddle and Buck Martinez, and I really do get that. But at the same time, I think you can preserve your depth better by sending Tholey to AAA, because then that gives you an extra bat at the big league level to open the season. Probably Justin Smoke, it means he would be on the team in that case. And then if it turns out to be a disaster, you can bring Tholey up and you can let someone else go and have that third catcher. So I would be tempted to send Tholey to AAA. He's there for you. Give Martin a shot. You know he's a great athletic catcher who has proven the ability to learn on the job before. I'd see if you can do it again.
And I know that John Gibbons' concern about resting Russ Martin, that can be addressed by having DeAndre Navarro catch Mark Burley, which worked well last year. Burley's comfortable with anybody, but Burley and Navarro worked very well last year. And you can get away, I think, with DeAndre Navarro in that situation. I want Russ Martin catching Norris and Sanchez for sure, and Hutchison as well. And if he can catch Dickey, great. But I think that's it's going to be. I think that's going to be the toughest decision the Jays have to make in camp because you've got a lot of catchers who around that team covering them, managing. You've got a catcher managing them, and you know that they're going to be pushing to have Josh Tolley on that team.
And I think the point you make though about DeAndre Navarro is a good one because if it ends up that Navarro is catching Burley, then you have Martin catching the other four. So he's grabbing them extra strikes, framing pitches for them. And then with Burley, I think if there's any pitcher in baseball who's going to get the benefit of the doubt on the occasional strike call, it might be Mark Burley.
Exactly.
Maybe he doesn't need that framing catcher the way the other guys do.
Yeah. John in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan with Jeff Blair and Ben Nicholson-Smith. Go ahead.
Well, as far as the younger guys go, the Jays don't really have much choice. You got to take whoever's the best. That's the one thing. You know, we're talking about AA, and I think he's a really smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I have with him, though, is he doesn't go for the jugular. You know, when you have the team, which they seem to have, and, you know, Josh Donaldson was on, and he said, we have so many studs, you got to sit there and say, okay. And, you know, you can tell me till you're blue in the face, the payroll's there, blah, 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 blah. There were so many guys available. So many, okay, available, but he keeps going after these Nolan Reimolds and whoever, blah, blah. All right, you need to go for the jugular, and he doesn't do that, or he doesn't fight enough to do that. And I will bet dollars to donuts right now that that's maybe one of the reasons Beast is on his way out, because he said, look, I can bring you a playoff team, but I need some money. And the ownership said, well, you know. And I will even make another bet right now where the Jays sit at $121 million that they're going to be nowhere near that $137 million of budget. Because it'd be, you know, and that really is, that's the thing that frustrates me the most as a Blue Jays fan. That they're sitting there and they're not going for the jugular when they obviously have a team that can do it. And as far as the young guys go, they have no choice. They got to take the best players they have.
So by jugular, you're talking about free agents.
Or trade. Like, are you telling me that there aren't guys available or weren't? Because if you are, then I don't know. There were guys, and there are guys available.
Like who?
Matt Kemp. You ever hear of him?
Mm-hmm.
You know? You're telling me San Diego, that massive market team, you know, can go out and get a really good player like a Matt Kemp? I know they got Donaldson, and believe me, I'm not unhappy. And maybe I'm waving the white flag about Russell Martin because the Jays do have so many young guys. They have to have someone like that back there to sort of baby these guys along. And it's a real big improvement over JP, I can tell you, and his pass ball every second pitch or wild pitch, whatever, you know, the scorekeeper happens to guess at the time. But, you know, like that's, I see guys available and they go to other teams and I just sit there and I don't cry, but I just get frustrated. I'm like, and what do you mean like who? There's tons of guys that have been moved. Howie Kendrick, Matt Kemp, Will Myers moved this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of guys that move. And we got Donaldson. That's great. Don't get me wrong. And we traded some good players to get him. That shortstop was the top player, top foreign player or whatever, and he's only 19. He's going to be a really good player. I hope he is. But there's guys around that the Jays could have had. And even, like, and they just, and it's not that I don't like what he, you know, where he's positioning the team, because of course I do. They're great. They look good. But you need to get,
you would like them. I understand. You'd like them, and thanks for the call, John. You'd like them to go all in. I mean, and look, I agree with you. Now, I've said, if it was up to me, this goes back to Yu Darvish, and I know Yu Darvish is hurt now, but if it was up to me, I would have spent the money on Yu Darvish. Money you got. Anytime I can add a pitcher and I don't have to sacrifice a prospect for him or anything like that, I would go ahead and do it. But you know what? It ain't going to happen. And it's kind of pointless in some ways, Ben, to keep talking about it because this is the reality you're faced with.
Yeah, exactly. And they could definitely use a second baseman like Howie Kendrick. He would be a tremendous fit on this team and on so many other teams. But, you know, it costs the Angels a top pitching prospect to get him. I think that it's not easy to get those guys. So for me, the Blue Jays do have questions. They do need to find ways to reinforce their pitching staff. Right now, if they were to lose another starter for even a small stretch, I don't know where they go. So I think you have questions there. But I do think that, you know, you talk about going for the jugular. I think adding Martin and Donaldson represented a pretty big offseason.
Yeah, and I think it was, to me, it was kind of a strategic offseason because at no point going into the offseason did we say, Alex has got to go out and add a catcher and a third baseman. I mean, we just assumed that those positions were filled. But I do get John's point. And, I mean, I've said in the past, if it's up to me, yeah, I'm spending more money. But you know what? It isn't my money. And that's kind of where we are. Ben, thanks so much for doing this.
Happy to do it. Good to talk some Jays.
The Sportsnet Magazine's baseball preview, or its MLB preview issue, is now available on the Sportsnet Magazine app. It's also available, of course, on next issue. And if you're a subscriber, lucky you, it will be in your mailboxes today. Tons of articles, a terrific cover story on Russell Martin by Stephen Brent. Ben Nicholson-Smith with Breakout Star, you need to know about, an article on Bryce Harper and a look at the Tampa Bay Rays and where that offense is going to come from. That's it for us today. Hockey Central at noon is next. Don't forget, on Sportsnet590.ca at 1 o'clock, it'll be the Philadelphia Phillies against the Toronto Blue Jays. Mike Wilner and Joe Siddle will have the call of the game. Cole Hamels against Aaron Sanchez. I'm sure there will be more talk about the decision to send down Steve Delabar and the ramifications of that for the Blue Jays. That's it for us. Have a great day, everybody.